That's right. You're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Searching for a job can be a daunting task. My guest today is career coach Julie Bulkey, and she says there's a lighter side to job hunting. A career enthusiast who says everyone deserves to be career happy, and she's also the author of Peeing on Your Shoes. Actually, Stop Peeing on Your Shoes, Avoiding the 7 Mistakes That Screw Up Your Job Search. Hi, Julie. Welcome to You Talking to Me.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. This is going to be a fun one because I know quite a few people that are looking for work at this time. How many people in America are out of work right now? Do we know?
Well, the numbers, it's funny. It's a number that sort of floats. Mm-hmm. That the average that everyone's saying is 9%. Some people say they believe it's closer to 15%. And then there's on top of that, there's the people who are what we call the underemployed, who are people who are working several part-time jobs, trying to make ends meet, or people who are doing jobs way below their capabilities. So when you start to add all of that up, and then you've got the people who have stopped looking. I mean, we could be up to 20%.
Right. Yeah, I think what I last heard, I guess, on a radio program somewhere was just over 9%. So
yeah, that's the ones we know about. You know, it's really, I think it's much bigger than that.
And all those people that are, I guess, out of work right now, how many are actually actively seeking employment? I mean, there must be many of them who are content living off the government, maybe?
Yeah, there's a cap to unemployment now, and so that eventually does run out. But yeah, I see a lot of people who are unemployed just get in this spot. If you really think about it, people are, they've looked for a while, they haven't found anything that's a good fit, and they become convinced that there isn't anything out there for them. And so the more they look, the more discouraged they get. And then it kind of becomes, well, you get even more depressed, the more rejections you get. And it's just sort of this pit that you can get into and not get out of. And,
right.
I feel for people. Losing your job is one of the top three life stresses.
Mm-hmm. What maybe is something that you would suggest about people that are maybe living on assistance or physically capable of working? If you could make that change, what do you think we could do?
Well, first of all, the idea that there are a lot of people who are taking jobs that are turning down jobs that are somehow less than what they think they're capable of doing. And that's a mistake.
Right.
Anything that gets you out of the house and lets you interact with other people can lead to your next job.
Mm-hmm.
And as I always say, the UPS guy knocking on your door is not going to bring you a job. And one of the biggest mistakes people make is that they say, well, wait a minute, I can stay at home all day and I can apply for these jobs online. Eventually, something will certainly hit.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think that, but really the reality, less than 10% of people get their jobs that way.
And that seems like it's the biggest thing nowadays is that everybody's looking for jobs online.
Yeah, and that's a big myth because it's less than 10%. I've seen anything as low as 6%.
Wow.
And but that is where if you really the real disconnect here is that if you really got people to be honest and to track their time in terms of how they're spending their job search time every week, the vast majority are spending too much time online. And when you look at the probability that that's going to land you something, it's not a good bet. I mean, Vegas will take those odds. It's just not something that's going to be productive for anybody.
Right.
And so, if people hire people, even in this age of technology and where everyone seems to communicate with text and, in Facebook, mm-hmm. people hire human beings that they can look at.
Right.
And so that's why networking, for as long as you and I are alive, will still be the best way to get a job.
Right. And you're talking about physical networking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an answer at all in working from home?
You mean in general for in terms of like a workforce trend?
Yeah, well, I heard a woman speaking on a program, and she had been out of work for about 9 months, and she was 29 years old, and sounded like she was extremely active in looking for a job. She got let go from a PR firm, I guess it was, and I can't help but think that maybe for her looking at something like starting her own company maybe or something like that. Is that sometimes an answer, possibly?
Yeah, it is. There's a mind shift that has to happen. When people think of the word, they think of box on the organization chart. you know, there is a little box on the org chart that's empty, and I must go find them, find it and fill it. Mm-hmm. But if you think about just a switch in the way you think, you're not necessarily looking for a job, you're looking for work. And work can come in all different forms. There are people who have what I call a tie-dye career, where they do different things to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They might, you know, do something that's self-employment, some more of a self-interest kind of work and make some money on the side. They might work at someplace else and get paid by someone else for 2 to 3 days a week.
Right.
And so we have to quit looking at everything as permanent employment, because there's no such thing. You have to, and all these organizations, they're looking to save money. And a way mm-hmm. to save money is to hire people. If I don't need somebody to do this, whatever this is, 40 hours a week, I'm just going to hire them to do it 10 hours a week or 4 days a month. And companies are thinking well beyond boxes on the org chart, too. And so as a potential employer or as a person looking for work, we have to get out of our own way and think about, you know, I might have a box of skills, okay, that are all the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you don't carry your box around and look for somebody who's looking for everything in your box. There might be this company that's looking for these 6 things in your box. You might have this company over here that's just looking for these 3 things and doesn't care about those 6 things.
Right.
Each of them might need you for different parts of your skill set. And it's a different way of thinking, and it's really hard to do for yourself. And you know, we aren't generally very good at self-analysis or, you know, being very critical.
Sure.
So it can be a challenge, but we have to start thinking more flexibly.
Are you seeing a lot more of that? People doing, you know, almost multitasking, I guess, working different jobs or some things maybe that they like to do. Maybe, like you say, it's not some are work, some are jobs, but doing a bunch of different things as opposed to one permanent, like a full-time job?
Yeah. Where we see it is a lot of times people just getting into the workforce where they're really trying to get their feet on the ground. And then we're seeing it in people later career especially, because that's all they can find. You know, there's mm-hmm. obviously a lot of age discrimination. And also there are people who say, you know what, I don't want to go back to the grind. I don't want to go back to, you know, 40, 60 hours a week of getting beat on.
Sure.
I don't, you know, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And so they might do some consulting a couple days a week and do some volunteer work for another day and then pursue another interest, maybe try to start a business, a little business on the side, maybe something online, something they can do from home or with their spouse.
Right.
And so I think a lot of times these sort of things happen out of necessity, not out of, wow, isn't this a great idea?
Sure, yeah. And so you coach folks about their career. What types of careers have you coached on?
Well, we have coached on everything from CEOs to professional athletes to, you know, people who have just regular, you know, regular run-of-the-mill jobs. Here's the thing, Big JD. No one ever taught us how to find a job. And so we fall back on what the world tells us we should be doing, which is calling recruiters and jumping online.
Sure.
But the process, and this is why I wrote the book, the mistakes people make, whether you are just leaving the NFL or you're the CEO of a company, are generally the same.
Mm-hmm.
And because the process, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a CEO, a professional athlete, an accountant, or, you know, the guy who works in, you know, in a large retail chain, it's exactly the same process. It's just you're fishing in different ponds, you know. Those folks are fishing in different ponds and they're starting at different places. It has nothing to do with how smart you are, how much money you made, or how accomplished you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a particular skill set that, you know, people just, we've never learned it. We've never had to. And this economy is teaching us your employer does not want to be in charge of your career, and somebody has to take the reins. It has to be you.
That's right. Now, when you talk about that process, what does a typical coaching job look like for you? Can you kind of step through the process of what happens when somebody comes to you needing assistance? Like, where do they start?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, and this is a big duh, but believe me, this is the thing everybody skips.
Mm-hmm.
If you even think of the really simple metaphor, ready, aim, fire, ready and aim are the two most important parts. And understanding what you're looking for is really important, and it's so overlooked, and that sounds so basic. But people will say, well, I'll do just about anything.
Right.
No, it doesn't work. So getting very clear on putting together a job search plan, getting clear on what kind of jobs you're looking for, and then developing the messages around that. So in other words, when somebody says to you, oh, Big JD, hi, it's nice to meet you. You know, what do you do? So that you've got a consistent message. When people say, tell me about yourself, Mm-hmm. You are telling them what you want them to know. So the plan is the biggest part of any sort of process, but it's really hard because it involves all the self-analysis, and so people want to skip it. I call that chapter in my book is called Jumping into the Fire Without Your Fireproof Undies. And it's a huge mistake people make. And then after you figure out what you're really looking to do, and you've kind of gone through all that self-analysis, that is actually a really big part of it. And then it becomes getting there. So it's everything from getting your head on straight, kind of the emotional side, understanding who's in your network, and strategizing, having a networking strategy, figuring out how to utilize the contacts you already have to help you network your way into places.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of places, I call it the target list. We're not only, given what you want to do, who would likely hire you? You know, what are the places in your geographic area or the geographic area you're willing to relocate to who are looking for people who want to do what you want to do? You know, you can't say I'll work anywhere because it's just not true. Not everybody's looking for you and your particular skill set.
Right.
And then, you know, it's about getting your interviewing skills up, learning how to negotiate. And frankly, it's a whole lot of crap and a whole lot of waiting because employers are, I hear it constantly. So many employers are so unprofessional in terms of how they're, you know, how they're dealing with job seekers because it's basic supply and demand.
Right.
You know, I'll let you know if I want you. If not, don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a lot of frustration in the job market. And so there's a lot of waiting. It's sort of like you want to plant a bunch of seeds in a field, and then you have to go back and constantly look at those seeds and, you know, water them and make sure. And then it's all about following up and staying in touch. But most of it, really, once you have your plan and your resume and all that is pointed in the right direction, meaning the direction you want to go into,
mm-hmm.
then it's a matter of executing on the plan with your networking contacts within target organizations. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And most people, they start with, I'm just going to go talk to everybody I can find.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? I don't care. I'm just looking for a job. Wow.
Yeah.
That does not get it done.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing you hear. Coming up, I want to talk to you more in depth about your book, The 7 Mistakes, and some of the stories, crazy things that people do at job interviews. But I want to ask you about a few scenarios. Maybe you can kind of let us know whatever comes to mind in these situations. Maybe offer any type of advice in these types of situations. But the first one being kids looking for work out of high school, not really a career, you know, just coming out of high school maybe, or no money to continue their education. What should somebody like that be looking at doing?
You would be surprised at how simple it is to stand out and do that well.
Yeah.
We've got a situation today where the young people are showing up for interviews, not only inappropriately dressed, having thought not at all about, about what they're going to say, not have no idea what kind of company they're interviewing with or what kind of place they're interviewing with.
Mm-hmm.
Text during interviews, yes, they do, or their phone is buzzing in their pocket. They don't look like, you know, they have it all together. If you are a teenager and you comb your hair, take a shower, shake people's hand, look people in the eye, sit up straight, say thank you, and write a thank you note, I guarantee you, you will stand out over virtually everyone else who's applied to that job.
So basically be a grown up.
And I, you know, it's sort of like you act like the professional you want to become.
Sure.
And it really is that easy because there's the stories I hear now, and really anything can be good experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we always think, hey, oh, I don't want to work there. But remember, the people you come in contact with, and this is why I'm a big fan of starting your networking in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Every adult you come in contact with, even starting in high school, can be your bridge or your connection to your next opportunity, and then your first professional opportunity.
Sure.
I mean, think about it. If you know some teenagers you're really impressed with, wouldn't you love to introduce those to people you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but can't you also think of some other teenagers that no way in the world are you gonna introduce those?
That's right.
Yeah. So now I tell my teenagers, because I have two, mm-hmm. I tell them, I say, don't act like you think you're friends. You have to take into consideration who's on the other side of the table.
Sure.
If the person on the other side of the table looks like me or your dad, you act and behave and do the things like we would mm-hmm. want you to do, not like another 18-year-old would want you to do.
And now, what about someone who's has a long employment break on their resume? They haven't worked for quite a while. It could be somebody older, I guess, or just somebody who's maybe looked for work for so long.
You know, it's it depends on, like, if it's been since 2008, everybody knows that this has been a very tough period. And so people are cutting people slack because they say, you know, it has been hard. So what you have to do, even if you're unemployed, you need to be able to talk about that period of unemployment and what you did during that. I know a guy who got hired because he was asked, tell me about how you ran your job search. And the guy told him such a compelling, planful story about his job search that he hired him because of that. So are you upping your skills? Are you keeping your skills sharp? Are you staying up to date on industry trends? Are you doing some volunteer work? What are you doing? It's more about what are you doing during that time than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to, if you've been out for 2 years, people are naturally suspect.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of thinking that says, well, if you were any good, you would have been hired by now. And you know, I think there could be some truth to that, but it's not always true. And so the best thing you can do is to show that you have spent your time in a productive way, either keeping yourself up to date, bettering yourself, or bettering the community or your family in some way. If you just say, man, you know, I've just been looking for a job for 2 years, and man, it's just really been tough, and you haven't done any volunteer work, and your skills are out of date, that's a problem. So it kind of depends on why, on what was behind the gap, mm-hmm. more than anything.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll look at interview do's and don'ts, the dreaded job search, and of course talk about your book, Stop Peeing on Your Shoes, Avoiding the 7 Mistakes That Screw Up Your Job Search. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
To help support individuals living with lung disease, the Ontario Lung Association is hosting a race through Windsor where you and up to 3 friends can work together, completing challenges on the way to the finish line. It costs $25 per person, and all participants are asked to raise $125. Teams that sign up before September 12th can get 1 minute taking off their final time. All proceeds go to support the Ontario Lung Association. For more information or for sponsorship opportunities, please contact Gloria Fiaccio at 509-256-3433.
All right, we're back. I'm talking to career coach Julie Bulkey. And I wanted to ask you about diploma programs. You know, not necessarily someone with a degree, but going for a diploma or certificate program. How helpful is that, getting something like that from like a community college?
Well, if it qualifies you to do something specific. In other words, if there are people out there hiring auto techs, and they say, we require an auto tech certificate, and you say, here's my auto tech certificate, that's great. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of schools, apparently, a lot of schools right now who are for-profit colleges that are promising more than they can deliver. And so you want to be really, really careful that that any place you go, that you really understand, before you go into a lot of debt, you want to, you know, There's good ones out there, but at the same time, before you go into a lot of debt, really understand what, and if you can, try to talk to some of the graduates from the school,
mm-hmm.
and find out how much help the school gave you, and how marketable you were, and what kind of pay you're getting. I would not sign up for something and go into debt, which is what people are having to do, before I was really sure that it was going to prepare me for something that was in demand, frankly. I mean, I can prepare you for something, but there might be a glut of them in the market. And so you really have to, you can't rely on, and this is whether you're going for a 4-year college, a 2-year college, it doesn't matter. Do not ever think that you can rely on this school to find you a job. And that's one of the mistakes people make at schools of all kinds.
Right.
And so do your research. I mean, it can be really valuable, but at the end of the day, it's still all on you. You know, you can finish at the top of your class and be a total dud and not be able to talk to anybody or look anybody in the eye, and you're not getting anywhere. You know, I mean, you're not going to get hired, and it's not the school's fault, it's yours.
Right. So I think that's extremely important to know that.
It's the ownership piece that is just so missing when it comes to people's careers.
Before the break, I said we'd talk about the dreaded job search. I see a lot of kids today and young adults actively seeking employment. Most of them complain about it, or, you know, they turn it into a dreadful task. They make it seem like that's a job itself. And obviously, it's got to be done. How should they be looking at this so, it, you know, they don't get so stressed over it?
You know, one of the things that I think really stresses people out is the feeling that they have to get it 100% right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. I mean, I'm telling you, some of the happiest people I know right now in sort of mid-career are people who are doing something very different than they did when they were 22. And so take the pressure off yourself. I mean, even if you find the perfect job today, it's not going to be perfect in 3 years or 2 years or 6 months or 5 years, because your definition of perfect is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start looking at it as, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get experience, I'm going to make some good contacts, I'm going to impress some people, I'm going to learn as much as I can about this field and this company and myself, and then I'm going to take what I learned and I'm going to find the right thing for me next, you know, the right thing for me with my next job. There's no such thing as a perfect situation, and I think part of the angst is, I don't want to do that job, I don't want to take that job because it's not perfect, or I'm going to have to do too much stuff I don't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get, at a certain point, you have to get in the game. And you're going to, and one of the frustrations I have is that, unfortunately, most colleges do not do a very good job of preparing their students for a job search. You know, the college model, in a lot of cases, is we're going to bring a bunch of companies to campus, and then hope the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, in the rest of your life, just like we were talking at the beginning, jobs don't knock on your door.
Right.
And so to think that model works, where you just show up and there's all these companies who've shown up to talk to you, it's really false. Because what happens is, kids out of school, they get their first job, and they get there and they go, ooh, I don't like this. Or they get laid off or whatever. And now they're without the skills to find the next job. And so don't look at it as, you know, everybody remembers being 22, and I think people are exceptionally helpful to kids who are 22, because we remember being 22 and how clueless we were. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask people's opinions. Don't be afraid to, you know, get people's inputs on careers or choices,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, ask for their help or ask for their introductions, because, you know, it's easier when you're 22 than when you're 32, because people understand that, you know, you're really starting at the beginning. So at a certain point, you just have to get in the game, and then you can correct later if you've taken something that turns out to be not the fit you thought it was.
So tell us about your book. I want to get into the obvious seven mistakes, or some of those at least, but what else can readers find inside the pages?
Well, what I found was, when I sat down to write it, was that when I started looking at, you know, that it really doesn't matter who you are, everybody makes the same ones. And so I sat down and started saying, okay, what are those seven mistakes? And it turned out that they were really easy to pinpoint. And so I wrote the book saying, okay, I mean, it's 108 pages. It's a fast read. It's got stories in it and cartoons, and it's fun. It's a fun read.
Sure.
But it's got a lot of really good advice in it on stuff nobody ever taught you. And the idea was, if I could just get people to recognize some of the mistakes they're making and not make those mistakes, you know, so many people would be so much better off. In a lot of ways, it's common sense, but in a lot of ways, it's, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way. And so I did it around mistakes, just because that was more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to, in each chapter, I talk about what the mistake is, and then I give examples of people who made that mistake and someone who demonstrated that practice well. And I call that "be this guy, not this guy." And it's just, in a lot of cases, frankly, they're true stories of people that I worked with. And I changed the name to protect the guilty. But and so it's a lot of stuff where you read it and go, I mean, I have so many people will call me and go, my shoes have so much pee, I need to get new shoes. I think I've made every one of those mistakes. So if you do see yourself in there, but I wanted to do it around, you know, what are the things, what are the core things that people don't know? And so I talk about your plan. I talk about managing your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about, you know, it really, all this job search stuff really does start with you and what you want. You have to be clear on what you want. The right way to work with recruiters, the right way to use the internet, and you know how to really network. And by that, I don't mean just go hang out at meetings and chat with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then how to kind of get past some of those tough interview questions that some of the I call them the gimme questions, the questions that you know you're going to be asked.
Right.
Like tell me about yourself and what are your strengths and weaknesses and all that kind of stuff.
You should know a little bit about yourself, I guess, going in.
Well, you know, and if you think about it, it's the ultimate open-ended question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do I start? Third grade? You know, so, you know, it's the thing about that question, it's a tricky one because you have to be ready. You have to have your answer ready in advance because one of my pet peeves is always when people say, when I say, tell me about yourself, and someone says, what do you want to know?
Right.
I just want to just scream, "What do mm-hmm. No. What do you want me to know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part. And so you have to think before you go in about what do you want people to know about you. If you only have 2 minutes, what do you want people to know? And then how can you craft and practice an answer that is going to, you know, is going to help point your discussion in the right direction?
Right.
If you spend all your time talking about stuff that you hate to do or talking about a project that you hated, that's what they're going to want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be planful about that question. And if you think about it, that question is going to get asked first.
Right.
So you can really blow the interview or set the tone in the right way right out of the box.
So can you give us an example of a quick example, I guess, of a couple of the mistakes, maybe a couple of the big mistakes that are made through, I guess, job search or the interview?
Yeah. One is going in and saying, let me think how to phrase this, is not being clear on what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Not being clear on what your best skills and what your best skills are.
Okay.
You know, people want to say, I can do anything. I'm a fast learner. I'm a people person. And that makes me want to gag.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's really about, because we are not, understand that we are not equally good at everything.
Right.
And some of the things we plain just aren't good at. And so you have to be clear on those and be willing to share and say, here are the kind of things, like I would say, like, I'm not good with detail. I mean, I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone said to me, this job that we'd like to talk to you about, you'll be working with Excel a lot and working a lot with numbers and managing a lot of detail. How does that sound? I would need to excuse myself and be brave and bold enough to do that. But what we do is we try to pretend like we are good at everything and that we're the answer to all their problems because we want an offer. And all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. Even if you do convince them, you're not going to go in and do well in that job.
Right. Where can listeners find your book and find you on the web, Julie?
It's on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Amazon. It's also on my website. And you can get to my website. The easiest way to spell it, the easiest name that'll point you there is jobsearchscrewups.com. That'll take you right to my website.
Okay. And you have a Facebook page as well?
Career Enthusiast Julie Bauke.
Okay. Really appreciate you being on the show, Julie.
Sure.
Thanks for your time.
All righty.
All right, take care.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, as my guest Julie Bauke says, if you're looking for a new job, stop peeing on your shoes. Her book will help you avoid job hunting mistakes, and I'll add to that by saying stop peeing anywhere you shouldn't be. And if you're looking for work, check out Julie's website for more information. And as you probably know, any guests with websites are linked up to the You Talking To Me website as well. Just go to youtalkingtome.ca, and you'll also find the podcasts of You Talking To Me there and on the cjam.ca website. Have a great week, and thanks for listening.